Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Selah. Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? Psalm 88, verses 9 through 12. I'll never forget the first time I read the words you just heard. They both scared me and thrilled me. They made me simultaneously shudder and marvel. I shuddered because the words sounded so cocky and arrogant. Who does a psalmist think he is? I wondered. He's out of order, stepping out of line, pushing his luck. Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave? Certainly this was no way for the psalmist to talk to God. I was surprised that lightning didn't strike him dead on the spot the moment he uttered these words. And for fear that there might be lightning to spare, for those guilty by some kind of association, I hurried on to the next psalm. But I marvel too. What a beautiful relationship that one of God's creatures could be this intimate with his Maker, that God would kindly permit someone to rag him and nag him. Centuries later, a Syrophoenician woman would tackle our Lord in logic and seemingly get the better of him with her classic squelch, "Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs." And in the course of time, our Lord would tell a couple of stories, one about a persistent widow pestering an unjust judge, the other about a midnight caller asking a friend for bread, even though that friend and his family were already in bed. And our Lord would hold up both of these as models for us in our dealings with God. But none of these Bible people would break the record established by the psalmist in our text. Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave? What scolding, what sarcasm. And yet it doesn't seem to be the familiarity that breeds contempt. It seems to be the familiarity that breeds familiarity. Perhaps here is a superb instance of that tender relationship we have with God, initiated by our Lord Jesus Christ, and so beautifully described by Martin Luther, as dear children ask their dear father. But that was only my first reaction to this text. Since then, I've experienced another reaction, made possible by exposure to the world of literature. And that is to notice the delightful dramatic irony that the text contains. Surely you remember the basic ingredients of dramatic irony. The speaker's words being true in a different way or to a greater degree than he realizes when he says them, and the listener or reader knowing something that the speaker doesn't. You see, when the psalmist asked the questions in our text, he didn't think they could be answered. Or if they were, they could be given only negative answers. Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Hardly. Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Fat chance. Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave? Impossible. Shall thy wonders be known in the dark? No, no, a thousand times no. But jesters do oft prove prophets. And this wouldn't be the first time that a holy writer fell into that distinguished company. As citizens of the New Testament, as children of the resurrection, you and I know that the psalmist's sarcastic and desperate remarks have received an outcome not foreseen by him at the time. His arrogant questions, to which he thought only negative answers were possible, have, surprise, surprise, received positive answers, gloriously positive answers. Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Indeed, God has. Lazarus and Jairus' daughter, just to mention a couple. Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Indeed, we shall. Such is our hope, since God's Son came into the world and lived and died and rose again. Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave? To be sure, there above all. Shall thy wonders be known in the dark? Yes, yes, a thousand times yes. And oh, how we look forward to this greatest and most significant of all the miracles, our own resurrection from the grave. That's what this Easter season is saying, among a host of other wonderful things. And it is this message of Easter that gives the words of our text their blessed, their delightful, their delicious irony. We continue with hymn 205.